Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
1 o'clock is here. Sarah Cazell is here.
Yeah.
Just makes sense to do social studies, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Let's do
it. 1 + 1 = 2. Hi, Sarah.
Very good, Vince.
I'm learning.
How are we doing today, guys?
We're going to start a new segment next week at like 12:15. That'll be just daily math lessons.
I absolutely remove myself from that. I will not be participating.
People love math on the radio.
Oh, they certainly
do. Can I tell a quick story?
Please.
I created a math sports trivia game once upon a time.
Oh, boy.
Where you had to take like uniform numbers or specific like...
Oh, like so-and-so plus so-and-so.
Yeah, so I'd have like a theme.
Yeah,
like
okay.
So
I like
Pete
that.
Rose's number with 14. The Reds. Plus Jalen Rose's number with Michigan.
I had no idea.
Divided by Malik Rose's. It turned into just a giant mess.
You are the only person I know who could play that game. I don't think anybody else would know as much as you do as far as the nitty gritty.
That's not true.
No, I think there are some people who are kind of savant-like when it comes to that. I am not one of them.
I called it the numbers game, where sports plus math equals fun.
Sports plus math never equals fun.
You're right. I found that out the hard way.
Yeah.
All right,
and that is why that is not happening anymore.
I've taken enough of your time, Sarah.
That's all right. Welcome into Social Studies, everybody. Follow us on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. That is where these questions are posted every single day. Follow along and participate. Here's our first question. A disappointing loss for ASU basketball fans last night.
I can really hear the pain in your voice.
Yeah, I'm very torn up by Arizona's win. Let's go.
Can I ask you just real quickly?
Sure.
Do you have trouble watching these U of A basketball games now because you know it, they mean nothing?
No. Nope.
Not necessarily the game yesterday because it was versus ASU.
No,
versus...
I'll still watch. I'll still enjoy.
You, Jared.
All right.
Yeah. You're just not a very good fan, apparently.
No, I mean, honestly,
you'll be vindicated one day.
What's the difference? These wins, like last year and the year before, always led to nothing, too. So what's the difference?
Now you can be a martyr. Now you can go, man, if we'd have just made it, this would have been our year.
Blow the whistle.
Yeah, it was definitely looking like it was going to be your year.
Right.
Anyway, so there are many disappointing teams in the Valley to choose from right now. We've got four coaches. Which head coach that had a disappointing 2020, 2021, or is in the midst of a disappointing season, do you still have the most confidence in? Bobby Hurley, Cliff Kingsbury, Torrey Lovello, or Herm Edwards?
Oh, I like that question.
Yeah, it's a good one.
The fact that there's four nominees as disappointing 2020 is really disheartening.
Yeah.
I'm going Herm on this one. I think it's going to pop next year for ASU. I really do.
That's where I'm voting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Herm Edwards, I'm looking at it from the same way Vinny does. This is they showed a little bit this past very short season that should intrigue you. And if it's ever going to pop for ASU football, it's going to be next year.
Who would be second?
Torrey Lovello.
Yep.
Okay.
Bobby Hurley, Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm.
That's exactly my order.
That's your order?
Yeah.
Very close. Just flip Bobby and Cliff. Herm Edwards, the clear winner here, 46% of the vote. Honestly, I'm surprised he didn't get more than 46%. 23% went with Torrey. 18% say Cliff Kingsbury. 13% voted for Bobby Hurley.
Yeah.
So maybe a little recency bias from last night.
Yes.
But.
If the Cardinals had lost their last game to the Rams last night, too, the numbers would be different.
That's completely fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, it just has not panned out. There were a lot of high expectations for ASU basketball this season.
Oof.
And they definitely have not met them. Moving on to our next question. We learned this morning that Hank Aaron passed last night at 86 years old. Of course, the home run king until Barry Bonds bypassed him, but still recognized as the home run king by some baseball purists. We are asking.
Part of the genesis of this question was his record is not the record anymore.
Yeah. Yes. So the question is, what is currently the most prestigious record in sports? Still holds some weight, some value.
To me, that's Joe DiMaggio, the 56-game hitting streak.
Yes, that's where I was going as well.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Any others that come to mind? Or is that the clear winner for you?
The Cal Ripken record is pretty remarkable, but that is not a performance. That's a showing up kind of record. But mm-hmm. it's still really a big, big number.
Yeah, nobody's ever getting to that again.
Yeah.
Not in this, I need a rest, I need a day off.
Yeah.
Load management.
Yeah.
I would go with Happy Gilmore taking a skate off and trying to kill an opponent with it.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one. That's very prestigious. Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak, that shows up quite a bit. Big Ernie Gubinsky, that was his favorite.
Blake actually said Happy Gilmore. I hadn't seen that.
Oh, really?
We're on the same wavelength, Blake.
Stephen F., Michael Phelps's dominance in the Olympics.
Oh, that's
23
a good one.
Gold medals.
That's a good one.
The most ever, yeah. Al Thompson says Jack Nicklaus's 18 majors. If Tiger couldn't do it, who can? Bic, what do you think
the
about that?
The question is not what's the hardest to break, though. It's what's the most prestigious.
I mean, Al Thompson thinks that's the most prestigious. Are you correcting Al?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, Al.
I don't know. That is actually, given the fact that Tiger had so many at such a young age, and it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to not only break that record, but just destroy it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's still four away, three away, whatever he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, four, I don't know.
Four away from surpassing, right?
Yeah, because he's at 15 now. Last year's Masters was 15-4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you agree that prior to that, it was the both single season and career home run records were the two answers?
Oh, absolutely.
Before they were broken?
Those were, I mean, those numbers were just common knowledge to casual sports
Without
fans.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would agree with that. You could ask baseball fans how many home runs does Barry Bonds have, and I think maybe 2 or 3 out of 10 could tell you.
That's, do you know? What is it? 762.
Now, how about this one from Tanner Riddle? He says, technically, this is not a record, but Michael Jordan's 6-0 finals streak and 6 finals MVPs, that seems to be one of the most prized accomplishments among sports fans.
Not according to Jarrett.
That's true.
It's okay.
It's fine. It's
better to lose in the finals 4 times, according to Jarrett.
All right, moving on to our next question, which there it is. I don't know why you guys were talking about this. Somewhere in the NFL, you guys were talking about this earlier. Offensive weapons, excluding QBs for the 4 remaining playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, which playoff team has the best offensive weapons, QB aside? Chiefs, Bills, Packers, Bucks.
It's a great question, because you could make an argument for all 4 teams.
Mm-hmm. You could.
But I'm leaning Chiefs, too. With Hill,
Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce,
they have
by far
the best tight end of any of the teams remaining. And their second, I mean, they could get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back this week. You know, their receiving core is deep. They throw to other guys. I think it's them, but the other 3 are really good, too.
Could you argue the Packers have the best receiver and the best running back, though, of the remaining teams?
You could certainly argue that.
Our voters will not. 59% say the Kansas City Chiefs have the best offensive weapons. 21% voted for the Bucks. 11% for the Green Bay Packers, 9% for the Bills.
Mm.
I love this question.
Uh-huh.
I know you started off the show talking about this, but I don't know why.
I can't remember why.
What was the question?
Feeling old.
Yes, the number one thing that makes you feel old.
Oh, that's very simple. I said the passing of Hank Aaron plus the news that Dirk Cutter was retiring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so open-ended, we asked, what is the number one thing that makes you feel old? Vince, what was your answer?
Other than health-related things.
I was going to just say waking up every morning.
Crackle, pop.
Yeah.
For me, there's a lot, but when you see professional athletes, like we cover professional athletes, and now professional athletes who are born in the 2000s.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, or professional athletes who had kids and they are now professional athletes.
That'll do it.
That's
that'll
a big one right
it.
There.
And
or when those kids, those athletes' kids, and you watch their whole career and they're retired.
Oh, no.
Or in jail like Kellen Winslow Jr.
Right. To me, I've got a lot of examples like that, but I think more than anything is when you're filling out an online form and you've got to find your birth year and you scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. When you get to 4 scrolls to get your birth year, It's rather humiliating. Not humiliating. It's rather humbling.
That is humbling.
That's a great answer.
Oh, it sure is. Okay, this one, I love it so much. Jimmy from Philly. He had a few good responses, but this is my favorite. He says, on my daughter's 18th birthday, sitting at the dinner table, I whipped off my glasses and told her she needs to register to vote. My wife said, that was an old man moment. It is important, though.
Uh-huh.
What do we have here?
When I saw that this is the year where now if you go to a bar, all the bartender has to do is look at your license, and if you have a one in your birth year, you're old enough.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that one hurts. How about this one? AZ Yinzer, he says, Saturday Night Live hosts, half the time I watch the show and I say, I'm not sure if this guy is a celebrity or if he served me at Whataburger today. I definitely have that moment with names trending on Twitter. I'm like, I know this is a young celebrity, but I have no idea who you are or why you are famous.
There is so many great answers on this.
Yes.
We're definitely coming back to this.
Okay, good. I like it.
We're coming back to this at the end of the show. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, great job as always, Sarah.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll get you ready for the NFC Championship game from the Bucks perspective. Rick Stroud, who covers the Bucks, he'll join us next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Bickley and Murata. Presented by Smashburger. Every bite a better burger. Smashburger, featuring the new pulled pork tailgater. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
2 days away from Championship Sunday at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Green Bay Packers in the NFC with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. Here to talk about it from a Bucs perspective, he covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times. Rick Stroud, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Rick, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys.
I know you've been in Tampa for a while. Before we get like really hyper-focused on the Bucs, can you explain this embarrassment of riches Tampa as a sports town has enjoyed in the 2020-2021 stretch here? Stanley Cup title, a World Series appearance, Super Bowl in the city, and a team that might be playing in its home stadium. How do you explain this, Rick?
Well, as you know, Tampa Bay has long been the city of champions, and all three teams have done well. No, actually, you know, it's the most Tampa Bay thing ever. Where sadly, and for our country, obviously, we're going through this, but for Tampa Bay sports fans, let's just go there. That you know, all of this has occurred with no one being able to go to games.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's unbelievable that you know. Tom Brady came here back in February, and I've yet to meet the guy yet, okay, much less that there's been a few fans, you know, at the stadium. I think they've had as many as 15,000. So that has probably been the most. But, it's nuts, right, that all three franchises have had the year they've had. And I think all of them, at least in the short term, should continue on and do great things. So it's been fun. But, you know, if they're able to get this one Sunday, that'll take it to a new level for sure.
Man, that is such a profound thing you said, because I was thinking it from the standpoint that this, and in the playoffs in general, you've had fan bases and outdoor stadiums in great NFL cities, Buffalo, Green Bay, Kansas City. Think about if we could have had the soundtrack of full stadiums. I didn't even think about how Tampa is having this groundbreaking year, and you might have a home game for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's never happened before, obviously, but it's a big loss, not you know, economically, and we've lost a lot of sports events throughout the year because of the pandemic, and you know, I hope that the NFL owners, I think this is their fourth or fifth Super Bowl. I hope they, you know, come back here again. This was supposed to be LA's, and they had the stadium construction delays, but nonetheless, we just have a sort of a tendency of having Super Bowls during crisis times. I mean, you know, the Gulf War, we all remember Whitney Houston and the national anthem and the patriotism that existed then. And then, you know, their last Super Bowl was during a real economic crisis, which, you know, was difficult in terms of some normalcy. And then, you know, this year, of course, is even more unique where you're going to be honoring 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers, and there'll only be about 22,000 at the game itself. So, You know, but the Bay Area has pulled it off, and they are some of the most memorable Super Bowls, you know, that there's ever played, and so hopefully they'll have another one.
All right. I think you can make a fair argument that Aaron Rodgers is probably a lot closer to his prime than Tom Brady, but the Tom Brady being one victory away from a Super Bowl and what that means in the big Belichick versus Brady narrative that was the number one storyline entering the year, what do you think that's going to look like on Sunday, Tom Brady being this close to proving that kind of point?
Well, I don't know if that was his sole motivation, but, you know, if this was a divorce, he got the house, he got the kids, he got the cars, he got, you know, he's getting paid $25 million in alimony. I mean, you know, he won it. He had the better lawyer. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, I don't think people will appreciate and probably will until we get away from this, right, what it means to have a guy at 43 and for Tom to be playing at the level he is and to come down after 20 seasons in one place, right? Not know anybody except Gronk, who he convinced them to trade for, not have any off season, have to throw with guys at Berkeley Prep and, you know, literally meet his teammates that way and not have much of a training camp, no preseason games, and start the year at New Orleans, right? Here's the NFC champs. Go get them, Tiger. So it's been remarkable to see just how he's raised the level. And it is real. It, you know, I've covered this guy, you know, from afar and in Super Bowls all this time and was pretty, you know, amazed by him. But until you're around it every day and watching practice and seeing the impact he has on all the players, both sides of the ball, just the attention to detail, the focus that he brings every single day, it's really transformed this franchise, and that's why they're as far as they are right now.
Rick Stroud, who covers the Bucks for the Tampa Bay Times, our guest here on the Colter Automotive Group Sports Line. A lot's been made this week, and with good reason. The Buccaneers dismantling the Packers earlier in the season, but even after that, Rick, as you well know, it was some tough times for the Bucs. They lost 3 out of 4 at one stretch. After they lost to Kansas City, they were 7-5. Haven't lost since the bye. In your estimation, what is the biggest area that they've improved in from that point till now?
Well, I mean, I think they just, you know, it was a process. I think he needed time on the practice field. The bye week absolutely helped them get healthy. You added some pieces during the year like Antonio Brown. He really came on, you know, and had 5 touchdowns in a 4-game stretch there. And you know, there was a sort of a collaboration. Tom needed certain things that was in Bruce's offense, but not in the quantity it needed to be, like play action, a commitment to running the football, some pre-snap motion, you know, just to give him, some of the cues that he needed. And then he just needed time on the field, both in games and in practice, because – you know, he'd gone through everything in New England with those guys for 20 years, but this is the first time going through it with Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians in an offense he did not know. So I just think it's just been, again, remarkable to see the growth of this team. And, yeah, they beat some tomato cans down the stretch, but that Saints defense was pretty darn good, you know, last Sunday, and they had their number, and they went out there and did what they needed to do, and the defense has really risen up and played really well. So, you know, here they are 60 minutes away from maybe bringing the Super Bowl back home with them to Tampa State, to Raymond James Stadium.
All right, last thing. Nothing will ever touch the mythology of John Gruden, what he means to Tampa, how he did the Rich Gannon impression in practice to get his team ready for the Super Bowl. But what does B.A. mean to Tampa? He was clearly an incredible quote and a story and a figure in Arizona. I know he's a little diminished by age, but what do you make of his place and his status in Tampa, given what's transpiring?
I'll tell you what, man, I can't believe you just brought up Bruce Arians. You know what I mean? Listen, it's been Bruce Arians has been great to work with, as you guys know. And, you know, his coaching staff is one of the best I've ever been around. And, you know, I just think he does things the right way. And it's been refreshing for Tom. You know, Bruce is still you know, he's still very, coaches you hard. He's got the Bear Bryant coach you hard, hug him up later. And I think people lost their minds when he was, you know, critical in the media about Tom and the mistakes he made. But, you know, BA is BA, man. You know, win or lose, we booze, baby. So he's, you know, he really wants this. He's, you know, he's 67, 68 years old. He knows he doesn't have many more chances at it. And he's enjoying being around yet another, you know, iconic quarterback. And, you know, I think the players really respond to him and his coaching staff. And there's a reason why, you know, after just a couple years, he finds himself in this game.
Rick, thanks so much for the time.
Yeah,
we really appreciate
you,
it. And hopefully we can chat again soon.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks.
Say hello to my friend Aaron, will you?
We'll do.
Yeah, but we should explain that, shouldn't we, really quickly?
We were.
Well, you can. I mean, that's the daughter of my college roommate, Tim Maloney.
That's Aaron Maloney, our executive producer.
Yeah.
We
so
just
her
learned
father
that.
Father was your college roommate.
Next time you're on, Rick, we're going to get dirt.
Yeah, well, I don't got a lot of that. He was pretty squeaky clean, to be honest with you. I never seen a guy 5'9" rake like he could, though. He's in the Arkansas State Hall of Fame, so there you go.
Is that right?
Oh, we're learning a bunch about Aaron's
fabulous dad.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Well.
All right, take care, guys.
Rick Stroud joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Infinity Luxury Cars, legendary service. Visit coulterinfinity.com. Jarrett's got the kebab next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on ArizonaSports.com. Do you think Remy Martin was fouled on ASU's last possession against Arizona? Yes, no, or couldn't tell?
Couldn't tell. I love it when they have options like that.
We had a couple Pac-12 officials actually answer this question, and they all voted for couldn't tell.
I thought you were going to say they all voted for yes and no.
And couldn't tell. Yes is leading right now, 57%. 24% say no. 19% say they couldn't tell. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now at ArizonaSports.com.
Don't you have some dirty jokes to go tell?
It's sports news skewered. The sports kebab.
All right, Jarrett. End the week strong, shall we?
Sure. Let's try that for once. Because
new strategy in 2021.
Because, guys, my goodness, what a week, right? What a week. And on Wednesday specifically, a day that I personally know that we as a nation have been waiting for so many years. A day we never thought would come, when the suffering would end, when the idiocy would end, when the absolute embarrassing lack of leadership would end, the lying, the corruption, the fact that for years I woke up and I said, how is this person in charge? But Wednesday, my God, I texted my friends, I called my family, I sat in my living room and wept. When I saw Larry Scott was out as Pac-12 commissioner. Yes, Pac-12 commissioner and real-life Ebenezer Scrooge without the charm or business savvy. Larry Scott is mutually parting ways with the conference in June. Now, people can criticize Larry Scott, but don't ever say that he wasn't a complicated man, okay? He somehow was able to achieve the unsolvable paradox of being both extremely cheap and economically wasteful. He is the type of guy who would pay thousands of dollars to attend a prestigious movie premiere and then sneak in his own candy from home. But he accomplished some stuff, Jarrett, right? He must have.
What did he accomplish?
Well, he expanded the conference, right? He expanded the conference. And you know what? When Colorado joined the Pac-12, people said, you gotta be high to want to join the Pac-12. And through a series of legislative moves, they proved them right. Larry Scott was so bad as commissioner.
How bad was he?
Scott was so bad, even Doc Brown wouldn't say he's great.
Jeez.
below average Scott. Now, before he exits the conference did put together a beautiful tribute video to Larry Scott. And to honor him, it's going to air at 2 a.m. Eastern to 30% of the country. Fitting
joke.
Tribute. Thank you. Now, speaking of the Pac-12, U of A got a big last-second win versus ASU, 84-82 on Thursday. Now, for Wildcat fans, this is good news. It's the first win in Tempe in 3 years. Now, the bad news is they would have to win by that margin 32 more times to make up the deficit from the Territorial Cup.
Wow. Yeah. Mm.
Now I bring that up because there is a billboard on the I-10 that prominently displays the 70-7 score of said game, mocking Wildcat fans as they come into the Valley. And look, that game still stings. And I wish that it was close enough that after that game, our head coach could have whined and complained about a questionable ref call over and over and over again. But let's face it. If Kevin Sumlin wanted to tweet a picture of why things went horribly wrong in that game, it would have to be a selfie. But that's what happens. And like any game, it's unfair to blame one play, right? Or one call. I mean, look at how ASU started that basketball game. They could not hit a shot. They could not make a play. They were colder than Bernie Sanders at the inauguration. Yeah. Yeah, if you've been on social media of any type in the last week, you've seen a Bernie Sanders meme of some sort, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, hundreds.
Or 100 of them. The mittens.
Yeah, some of them are okay. But frankly, if I want to see pictures of a disgruntled Jew sitting, I'll watch 2020 highlights of Josh Rosen, okay?
Jeez.
Wow.
Speaking of football and its championship weekend, we have two great matchups. First one, the Buccaneers versus the Packers. Now, let's think of the dichotomy there. Green Bay, right?
Mm-hmm.
A northern, cold, working-class city with a team named after blue-collar factory workers. Versus Tampa, a southern, warm vacation destination with a team named after fancy foppish pirates. Green Bay has one of the youngest coaches in the NFL. Tampa has a coach so old school he openly swears and drinks during press conferences. The city of Green Bay, here's a fact, has the most owls per capita in the country. Tampa, on the other hand, has the most Hooters. So it's that's a connection there. Green Bay has an all-time great quarterback known for his celebrity relationships, his good looks, his messy breakups, and paparazzi lifestyle. And, okay, Tampa has the same thing, but their guy does it in stupid-looking Ugg boots. So then in the AFC... AFC, another good matchup. You have the Bills versus the Chiefs, so let's look at some stats from those cities. In Buffalo, in Buffalo, most known for, this is it, Buffalo, 20 million pounds of chicken wings are eaten every year. I'm sorry, no, that was the Andy Reid in Kansas City fact that I was, I mixed those up there. And finally, in the NFL, the Detroit Lions introduced their new head coach, Dan Campbell, who made headlines when he said this.
When you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you.
Yes. He claims the Lions will bite off their opponent's kneecaps and take a hunk of flesh with them. Now, I thought perhaps this was just coach speak or hyperbole, right? Until the team introduced new defensive coordinator Armie Hammer. So I don't know what they're doing there in Detroit.
Had no idea he switched careers.
Yeah, well, he's looking for work.
Well done, Jared.
Thank you.
Sports Kebab every Friday at 1:30 with Jarrett Carlin. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter at Jarrett GC, J-A-R-R-E-T-T-G-C. Coming up next, More things that make you feel old. Some final thoughts going into the weekend. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
We'll bite your other kneecap right off. It's the fight song now for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
This song is great, though.
No, it's not.
It really is.
No, it's not.
You don't think this is a great song?
No,
it's
I don't.
It's very catchy and fun.
Yeah, well, it's
come
catchy
on.
And
catchy
fun.
Catchy doesn't make
that.
It great.
Doesn't make it great.
It will get stuck in your head. It's what they call an earworm, by the way. Chumbawamba. Has anybody ever heard another song by Chumbawamba?
No, I have not.
I can't say that I have either. Not purposely. Sarah, anything? No?
Do they even have another song?
That's
a real question.
They have an album.
Their greatest hits album is just 10 remixes
right,
of this.
Right.
That is today's song of the day. I got something for you here. We're going to start a new thing at the end of the show. It's coming up more officially next week. A daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia where I get to turn the tables on you. You fools! I got one for you. You ready?
Okay.
Tomorrow, January 23rd, marks the 10-year anniversary of Aaron Rodgers' one and only victory in an NFC Championship game. They beat the Chicago Bears that day, and the infamous Jay Cutler...
Oh, that's right.
...looking like a petulant child on the sidelines game. Your trivia question for the three of you, who are the two quarterbacks that came in and played in relief of the injured Jay Cutler in that NFC Championship game for the Bears that day?
I can see one of them. I can't place the name. This is going to be quite a new feature we're going to have.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of silence.
A lot of silence.
You got anything, Jarrett? Nothing? What if I gave you first names?
Okay.
Todd and Caleb.
Oh.
Caleb Tarzewski.
No. No, Jared.
Only Caleb, I know.
We know Caleb Tarzewski never played pro anything.
Pro leagues in Lithuania or wherever.
Yeah.
Todd Collins and Caleb.
Caleb Haney.
Caleb Haney.
I don't know who Todd was.
Todd Collins.
Wow.
Todd Collins came in and threw four consecutive incomplete passes and then got benched for Caleb Haney.
For Caleb Haney.
Who actually put a couple touchdowns on the board. They only lost that game by 7 despite
it. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still remember.
The Jay Cutler game.
Jay Cutler with his big coat on.
Looking all glum.
And it turns out he always looked like that.
Yeah, right.
All right, so we asked this in social studies, things that make you feel old. We got so many great responses. We're going back to it. My buddy Eric said this. Ralph Macchio is now 7 years older than Pat Morita was when they filmed The Karate Kid.
Hey. Wow. I
always look high.
How about this one from Rob Gruber? He says, walking into the hockey locker room for a pickup game, and the kid getting dressed next to me says, it's great that you're still playing.
Wow.
That hurt my feelings.
That's tough. Anthony knows he feels old whenever Jarrett tells a joke and he understands the reference.
That's a good one.
Always a sign.
That's a good one.
Big Ernie says he has to shave the hair on his ears.
Oh, jeez.
How does Big Ernie know what Twitter is?
From Jake, college kids who weren't alive when the D-backs beat the Yankees in the 2001 World Series.
Yes.
Along those lines, too, you were talking about the ID thing.
Yeah.
Getting carded. Even the last baby born in the United States in the year 1999 can legally drink right now.
Wow. That's a good one.
Okay, this one blew my mind. From Jam Ham. And the math checks out. Other people chimed in. 1995 was closer to the moon landing than it is to today. They're both 26 years apart, but when you break down months and days...
Oh, my goodness.
It's closer to the moon landing than it is to today. So, yeah.
You want to go grab a beer, Vic? That one, that one's
hurts.
Rough.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy from Philly, considering Velcro sneakers as a fashion option?
Yes.
Like I said, mine is still the best. The age wheel, when you've got to input it online in a form, and you have to spin it and spin it and spin
your
it.
Finger cramps up.
Uh-huh. And you're like, oh, thank goodness I'm finally there.
This is, for me, it's, I noticed this a few years ago, but in college, after the bars would close at 2 a.m., we would go to the 24-hour burrito places. I would eat a giant burrito with like six hot sauces, sleep like a champ.
Oh.
If I eat anything tomato-based after like 7 p.m. now, I'm lying in bed clutching my heart.
I'm in that boat with you. I don't eat a lot of tomato sauce anymore. I love it, but I'm the same way.
Really?
Oh, yes.
With a lot of heartburn?
Yes.
Heartburn, okay. Indigestion, yep. Acid reflux.
Really?
Yeah.
I carry Tums with me now as of like 4 months ago. So if anyone ever needs Tums on the go.
Okay.
I got Tums in the nightstand.
Oh, good.
Don't have to take it as much as I used to. Good stuff on that. A lot of great threads if you want to check them out.
You know you're getting old when you wake up at night from cramps.
like
leg cramps. That's what I mean, yeah.
When you have cramps after sleeping.
Yeah, right.
I've definitely woken myself up with a foot
with
cramp.
With a foot cramp.
Yeah, and I just wake up like,
oh, what a great way to wake up, too.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It's such a good feeling.
You just clutch the foot, like, stop.
Right.
Yep. That's my life now.
All right, we gotta make our picks for the football weekend.
I like you, think Green Bay is too much for Tampa to handle at this point in time. I think Green Bay is going to win that game. The KC-Buffalo game, I can see it going in a lot of different directions. I'm gonna take a shot and go with the premonition that Josh Allen is gonna have himself a day where he becomes one of the elite and he takes the Bills to the Super Bowl. I'm not sure it's what we want in the long run. I think Rodgers versus Mahomes is really a spectacular Super Bowl. I think getting the Bucks to play a home game in the Super Bowl would be quite something.
Do you want them to get it though?
I don't. I mean, I want, you know, I feel about that.
There's really only a handful of teams where it's even possible for it to happen. Like the Rams and Chargers, the Raiders moving forward, the Cardinals, the Bucks, and the Dolphins.
But the Saints. City of Tampa to be having what they've had.
As Rick Stroud said, the longtime City of Champions.
Oh, yeah.
Packers over the Bucks. I think if that game was in Tampa, I would pick the Bucks.
All right.
But I'm going with Green Bay. Okay. And maybe it's because I want Buffalo to win so bad. I'm picking the Bills and the upset. I am. You think we see any ill effects of Patrick Mahomes' week?
Yes, I do. I don't think he's going to be as good. We'll see.
Yeah, we shall see. We'll have a full breakdown on Monday. Thanks to John Wilner, Rick Stroud for joining us. Thanks to you as well. Have a great, safe weekend. We will catch you back here on Monday at 10 a.m. Burns and Gambo are up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Enjoy our silliness from the week that was, shall we? I'm sorry. I was going to say something smart. It's something.
Why start
you don't
now?
You don't do it very often. Let's hear it.
Okay. Let's get this party started.
I'm not interrupting your interview.
All right.
Oh, my. You'll just jump in when it's time to carve me, though.
I'm sure they went through a very, very thorough vetting process and heard some horrible things about you, Shane.
Right. Call me.
Dad, I got to get back to school. We got to go right now. And we got to get your kid. We got to get your brother. No, Dad, I got to get back to school.
A fullback. He's playing like he's got a dark heart and a painted face.
Ken Stabler.
Otis Wilson.
Barnsley. What's going on?
Only one more game, Keyshawn? Oh, yeah? You want to put your money where your mouth is?
She's coming for me, I know.
I'm applying for temporary mafia status. I'm anti-grunt. I've never tried crack.
He's... Sarah the Ruthless.
The Ruthless.
Dictionary. Dan Bickley's Juicy Blast.
Baby.
Baby.
Not going to snap it, Jim.
Now, everybody, I'm not going to lie to you.
That's right.
An employee got their arm ripped off. We can refund your money, or you can still go on the tour, whatever you want.
Bears.
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 Dick.
Tell the truth.
Struggle. Struggles.
Struggling.
Listen. Yeah, when I was a boy, my dad made stir paint together.
It's the most important off-season in Cardinals history since the last one.
Hey, what a beer.
Beers for everybody. Bills right. Win.
Look at me. I am big, fat American.
Sex him.
Everything is fluid.
Free, baby. Free.
Tell the truth.
Shut up, Jared. Shut up, Jared. Shut up, Jared.
No.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What?
Oh. Oh, no.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. That's it.
No matter how you slice it, it's creepy.
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate everything except for Jared.
You started the show by saying it was going to get weird.
Yeah. No, it's
I
good.
Just took it
weirdness
really,
is good.
Really weird.
I'm very comfortable in the realm of weirdness.
Dan Bickley's Juicy Blast.
Look at that. The end of another show, Bick.
Yeah. Award-winning, greatest of all time. Lived up to the mantle today.
It's going in the montage.
That was really awkward and stupid. Sorry about that.